1 Corinthians chapter 12. Why don't we pray and ask the Lord's blessing on today? Father, we thank you, Lord, for today. And Lord, we thank you for your word and Lord, what your word means to us. And God, how we need your word. And especially, Lord, in the days we live. God, as we do this whole study on the gifts of the Spirit that's been going on for quite some time, Lord, looking at the Holy Spirit and now the gifts of the Spirit. God, I believe my personal conviction is that we're going to need the gifts of the Spirit and the move of your Spirit more than we ever have in the upcoming days. And maybe more than we ever have in world history. And Lord, that may be a bold statement to make, and I can't for sure back that up scripturally, but I know that we're heading into a time in the last days where your word says it's going to be stranger and harder than it's ever been. And I know there's going to be great deception, and there's going to be all kinds of things happening, Lord, that are going to seem spiritual. And Lord, they might be spiritual, but it's not necessarily your spirit. And we need wisdom in these days to discern the spirit of God as compared to the spirit of the enemy. And Lord, the gifts of the Spirit are going to be those things that not only help us discern that, even as discernment is one of the gifts, but Lord, the other gifts to be tools in our toolbox to minister to those in the days in which we live. And so I pray as we look at the gift of prophecy today, and Lord, as we experience prophecy right now from the pulpit, as we'll see the definition later on, I pray that you would minister to your body prophetically by foretelling, by forthtelling, and Lord, by your Spirit, even today as we study this subject, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's read the verses again. You know, as we go through this, we're hitting like one or two things at a time. Today, we're only going to hit the gift of prophecy, but I want to again give it kind of a running go to remind us of where we are. And there in chapter 12, starting in verse 7, Paul talking about the gifts of the Spirit says this, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, and to another prophecy." Let's stop right there. Guys, as we've worked through each of these gifts, we've talked about what they're for and what their purpose is. And I believe we come to one today that, again, even as all of them are extremely needed, the gift of prophecy is needed tremendously today and for a number of reasons. And as we get into the study, we're going to see there's more than one definition to prophecy. But the bottom line is we need to be able to understand the prophetic word of God. And that is God speaking to our lives individually, speaking to us as a church, speaking to us really worldwide as a church, and also just declaring the word of God to us. And that's what the gift of prophecy is for. And so I want to jump right into it. There's a lot of stuff to cover today, so I don't want to give a long introduction on this other than to say, of all the gifts, I think this one is one of the most important. And again, it comes in line with the gift of teaching, which we'll get to at a later time. But before we begin, we need to give a definition of prophecy, and that is, what is prophecy? We hear the word thrown around, prophecy. What is prophecy? Here's a definition for you. It is speaking forth the word of God through the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Now, that sounds basic, but note that. The speaking forth of the word of God by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And Peter adds to this later in the scripture when he says that prophecy never came by the will of man, nor was it from man, nor man's idea, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And so true prophecy is God moving in the heart of man to speak forth his word and to foretell his word. And that really are the two definitions. We'll get into it in just a moment. It's broken up really into two categories when you look at biblical prophecy. Hebrews 1:1 says this, that God spoke to us by the prophets in previous time. Now remember, back before the Holy Spirit was given, the only way God spoke to us, of course he spoke by his word, but he spoke through the prophets. They wrote the word down, and that's how the word of God came into the world. God took prophets, he gave them his word supernaturally, they wrote his word down, and that's what we have today, the Old Testament and the New Testament. God speaking through his prophets. And so the prophets were, in the Old Testament, if you will, they were the official spokesman for God. If you wanted to hear something new from God, it was going to come through a prophet. God spoke through the prophets, and he did that so that everybody that was following God would know what was really of God and what was not of God. And I kind of like that. You know, it would kind of be neat to have guys that wandered around today, and you knew that is the guy that speaks for God. Now, all pastors speak for God in the sense that we are his spokesman proclaiming his word. But I'm talking about the guys who brought the word of God and put it on paper as to what we're reading today. The prophets who actually, you went up to a prophet and he said, "Thus saith the Lord," you were hearing straight from the throne of God. I find that exciting. I would think that's really exciting. It'd be scary, as we talked about before, because you'd wonder what the prophet was going to say to you. But I also find it exciting in the sense that God would actually speak through man, his very words, into our world. And that's what prophecy is all about. Now, how does prophecy work? And again, we're going to look at a lot of, when we examine this particular subject, we're going to examine it the same way we did the others, with a lot of questions, and then answering the questions. And the first thing I want to look at is, as far as what prophecy is, I want to talk about how prophecy works. That is, biblical prophecy works in two different ways. It works in foretelling, and it works in forthtelling. Now, what is foretelling? Foretelling, pretty self-explanatory. Foretelling is when you tell something in advance. The prophet would say, "Thus saith the Lord, this is going to happen." Or maybe someone says in your life, you know, "This is going to happen," and it comes to pass. That is a foretelling. It's telling, literally telling in advance what's going to take place. The other type of prophecy is what is called forthtelling. And forthtelling is where you simply proclaim the word of God. Right now, you're experiencing the gift of prophecy. Not because I'm a prophet, not because I'm saying something that is going to be happening in the future that you don't know about, but the other biblical definition is, it is simply the proclaiming of God's word. As we read God's word today and look at God's word, we're going to be foretelling God's word, and then prophecy is going to be taking place. God supernaturally reveals the future in the first one, to an individual, even a nation, to warn us, encourage us, and direct us. And God proclaims his word to do warnings and encouragements and direction as well in the foretelling. Now, how does God do this? Again, we said in the Old Testament, God did it in a very specific way. He picked specific men, specific women, who held what I'm going to call the office of a prophet. And they were the spokesman on his behalf. What are some examples of that? Well, you have Elijah, Elisha, Jeremiah. With some women, you have Miriam, Deborah, and Huldah the prophetess. So God used men and women with this particular gift. But seeing how God did this under the Old Testament, again, brings up another question that we've got to answer now, because some of you guys have probably heard this, and you're going to be hearing it more in the last days, because the Bible says that guys are going to rise up, and they're going to declare themselves to be prophets. Jesus said in the last days, there's going to be false teachers, there's going to be false prophets, and there's going to be guys who get up and they say, "You know what, I am a prophet of God. And God has called me as a prophet. And as a prophet of God, I'm declaring this over your life," or "I'm declaring this over this congregation." Listen, there is a gift of prophecy, which we're talking about today, and we're going to, you know, examine more closely as we go through the study. But there is no longer the office of a prophet. That is, a specific person who has been set aside by God to speak for God to God's people. That no longer biblically exists. God gave specific individuals this ability in the Old Testament, again, because the Holy Spirit had not yet been given. Now, why would God have prophets then and not prophets now? Remember, the Holy Spirit worked in two ways in the Old Testament. We saw earlier in this study, he was with us and he was upon us. The Holy Spirit did not come in us until after Christ died on the cross. But now that the Holy Spirit has come in us, you don't need a prophet. You have God, the ultimate prophet, living inside of you and speaking to you himself directly. And so God has done away with the official office of a prophet, if you will. And where do we see in Scripture that God has officially done away with the office of a prophet? Well, in Luke 16:14, and you can jot this down for later if you want, Jesus said this. He said, "The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached and everyone is pressing into it." So God gives a definite ending point for the office of a prophet, that is, in the Old Testament, office of a prophet, and that is until John. So there were prophets, Elijah, you know, Elisha, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, all the way up till John. Kind of need to think of John the Baptist. He was an Old Testament prophet, just like these other guys were. But up to that point, we had the prophets that were there. Now we don't have the official office, if you will, in quotations, of a prophet. And guys, I've seen this abused in the church. This is why we need to be warned about this, especially in the days in which we're entering into. Because it's used as a manipulation. It's used as an authority. It's used as a dictatorship. I can tell you what God is saying because I am a prophet of God, and it's abused. And we need to understand, as the body of Christ, that official position is not even there anymore. Although the official position of the office of a prophet is not there anymore, does that mean that the operation of the gift of prophecy is not available anymore? And here's the difference. It is available today. The difference is not the office of a prophet, but the gift of prophecy. That is, God still operates prophetically in his church today. And aren't you glad? Can you imagine if God didn't speak to us anymore by his word? Listen, there have been times when I'm teaching the word of God or going through the word of God or reading the word of God, and all of a sudden God says something to your heart. That is the gift of prophecy in operation. God is now speaking directly to your heart through the word of God and instructing you in something he wants you to know. And so it's the gift of prophecy that God uses. And again, that's what we're looking at here in 1 Corinthians. Where do we see this after the church was born? Again, the key is do we see the evidence of this after the church was born? As a matter of fact, we do. In Ephesians 4:11, Paul says this, that God gave some to be apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some teachers. Now, this is after Jesus said that the prophets were until John. This is after Jesus has died on the cross. This is after the church has been born. So very clearly we see that there is a gift that the Lord gives to the church in the gift of prophecy. Now, the gift of teaching is one gift. That is where you're taught the word of God. You hear the word of God. Someone who has the gift of teaching, they can teach the word of God. There are different levels of that. But the bottom line is you are fed and you are taught when they do that. The gift of prophecy is another gift, but it works alongside that. And oftentimes, even I believe if people don't have the gift of prophecy, when they're teaching the word of God, the gift of prophecy plays out. You might be teaching something and you don't really operate in that particular gift of the gift of prophecy. But as you share the word of God, you begin to speak to people prophetically, and oftentimes they don't even know it. Sometimes it begins to happen and you recognize that it's happening. Sometimes you don't, but that's how the gift operates. God simply takes over. He takes his word. He doesn't take over in the sense of making you lose your ability to be the author of that gift. But God takes the word of God and begins now to speak to his people. He begins to minister to his people. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:14, notice this, he said, "Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands with the eldership." And so again, we see that gift of prophecy given after Jesus had died and resurrected, and this gift was given there to Timothy. And we also see through all the Old Testament, I've got several examples for you here, and you can jot these down, and some of them we're going to have up on the PowerPoint for you. But in Acts 11, 27 and 28, it says this, "And in these days, prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch." That is those with the gift of prophecy. Now note that. When it speaks of prophets in the New Testament, how do we know he's not talking about like an Old Testament prophet? Because Jesus said the prophets were what? Until John, exactly. So now we know when he speaks of prophets in the New Testament, it's not the office of a prophet, but it is the gift of prophecy that is operating. In verse 28, notice, "Then one of them named Agabus stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be great famine throughout all the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar." So notice, the prophets were prophesying. Agabus gave a word of prophecy, and it was a future foretelling. Now we're seeing an instance of foretelling in the gift of prophecy. He said in advance, you know what? There's going to be a great famine through all the world. And notice there's another evidence that it's a true prophecy. It also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. And so we see the foretelling prophecy there. Again, in Acts 21, verses 10 and 11, Agabus spoke again and warned Paul by foretelling him that chains awaited him in Jerusalem if he was to go there. And again, that's exactly what happened. It says this, "And as we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. And when he had come, he took up Paul's belt and bound his hands and his feet and said, 'Thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles.'" And so that's exactly what happened to Paul. Notice there is a foretelling to prophecy. These are things that people say in advance. Also in Acts 13:1, it says this, "Now there were in the church in that day in Antioch certain prophets and teachers." Again, not a prophet is in the Old Testament office, but the gift of prophecy. Acts 15:32 says, "And Judas and Silas, being prophets, also themselves exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them." Again, I'm giving you several examples so you can see these in the New Testament. Again, Acts 21:9, I love this one because in Acts 21:9, it says that Philip had four virgin daughters that were prophetesses. They prophesied. They had the gift of prophecy. And I always thought that'd be neat. You know, I've got four daughters. I hope that God gives them that gift of prophecy. In one way, it would be neat. In another way, they'd know, it seems like everything you're doing, so I don't want them to have that. But, you know, I know where you were today, Dad. I know what you're doing. Stop it. Be quiet. You know. Anyway, I'm joking. But again, that must have been something to have four daughters with the gift of prophecy. Can you imagine? That would have been exciting. This is another way we know that this gift is still available in the last days. Because Joel in Joel 2:28 said, "In the last days on the earth," which is obviously long after the church had been established, "that our sons and our daughters would prophesy." Guys, grasp that. Your sons and your daughters. The Bible says they will prophesy. Is that not exciting to you? God is going to use that gift in our children in these days, in the last days. And so this clearly shows that this particular gift will still be in operation all the way up until the very end. Now, these were examples of foretelling, many of them examples of foretelling. What are some examples of foretelling, or really what is foretelling? We've already kind of said what it is. But again, it's simply the reading of God's word. And as we read God's word to God's people, God simply takes the word and now takes it from the word that's being read and applies it to the listener's heart. Let me give you an example of that. You ever been just going through the Word of God? Maybe it's in a teaching, maybe it's in your own time, and all of a sudden you read something in the Scripture that just pierces your heart, and God speaks to you. Maybe you've read it 1,000 times. You've been over this passage over and over and over, and all of a sudden you read it, and it's like, wow, I never saw that ever. That is prophecy working in your life. God is using the foretelling of God's word, and really it's more in the setting of someone reading it to you, but he also speaks to the heart directly. But as they read it to you, God begins to speak to your heart and pierce your heart with the word of God. It begins to burn in your heart. It begins to churn in your heart. And so God says it directly to the heart through the foretelling. The next question we have to answer is, what are the purposes of the gift of prophecy? Now, we've already said some of this, but the most obvious is that God can speak directly into our lives and into the life of the church. And I'll tell you what I think we need today. We really need prophetic teaching. And that only comes by anointing and by God's Spirit moving. Prophetic teaching. That is, as we're teaching the Word of God, God has the ability to speak fresh things to His body right then. And the only way that's going to come, again, is by the Lord ministering to His people through that gift of prophecy. But I think it is so needed in the church today. It causes us to see God's direct intervention into our lives, and it helps us to believe in the promises of God and be strengthened in the Lord. Have you ever heard something that you felt God was saying to you? Maybe it was a word someone gave you, or something you read, or something you heard, you thought, I think God's saying that to me. I think that's for me. And then at the moment that God does that, something else happens that confirms it, and you realize that was the Lord, something that no one else could know but God, and it confirms it in your heart, and you realize, you know what? God just spoke to me something prophetically. God just spoke to me and instructed me in some way, whether it was a foretelling or a forthtelling. You know, I had one of those just recently, you know, a few weeks back. We were looking at Jehoshaphat. We covered, I think that was when Jamie Jim Goshen was here. And I read that passage, remember, out of Jehoshaphat, where Jehoshaphat was there and he was facing something that was too large for him. The armies of the enemy were coming against Israel, and Jehoshaphat was overwhelmed, and he said, you know, what am I going to do? Lord, we can't fight these guys. I don't know what to do. God, you tell me what to do. We have no clue, but our eyes are on you. Remember that. We read that passage. Our eyes are on you. And the strangest thing happened. God said, all right, now get the worship team and put them out there and let them start praising and worshiping. How would you have liked to have been that worship team, right? Here comes the army over the hill, and you want to put a modern day picture on this. The tanks are rolling over the hill. The artillery's being set up. All the enemies moving in. They've got all their weapons. They're slapping in their magazines, racking their, I mean, they're coming at you. Here they come. And you say, no, guys, sing something. Get a little bit upbeat, maybe. You know, what? Wait, just run. You know, no, sing. And God said, as you begin to worship and praise me, I will give you the victory over the enemy. Guys, I think God is saying that to Calvary Chapel, Knoxville. I think God is saying, if you will simply worship me and praise me, that I'm going to do great things through this particular ministry and in your lives individually, whether it's connected to Calvary Chapel or not. And why do I say that? Because God does that all through His Word, and God has continually been doing that even since that passage. It's very interesting. As you guys know, I went to a pastor's gathering this past week, and I happened to be, quote unquote, in my personal reading in Jehoshaphat right before we got there. And when we got there, we went to Brooklyn Tabernacle, and Pastor Cimbala was sharing, and guess what he shared out of? Jehoshaphat. And worshiping and letting God get the victory through worship. In other words, you don't have to fight this battle. You just worship me. I'll do the fighting for you, and I'm going to do greater things than you ever dreamed or imagined. There's great warfare that goes on in worship and in praise. And it was interesting to me that the very thing I'd read, and then it happened to be in my reading, and then again, he covered it when we were there, I realized, you know what God is saying to us? He wants us to be a worshiping fellowship. He wants us to be a fellowship that gives Him praise and glory. And that's why, you know, in the past few months, we've had to open up, we opened up the prayer room over there, and we opened up the prayer room over here. And that's been great, and it's been wonderful. We've had some people trickle in, but now we brought it to the sanctuary, if you noticed this morning. And those of you that came in at the very first, what we're doing is we're making the sanctuary a place of praise and a place of worship and a place of prayer and a place of fellowship before every service. So when you come in here before the services, you're going to see people sitting around. You're going to see people praying. You're going to just be in an atmosphere of worship. And the bottom line is not to try to manifest some kind of atmosphere that's going to convince God to move. That's man's efforts. That's flesh. But simply creating an environment where we can come in and seek the Lord and worship Him and pray and say, God, we want You to move today. Lord, move in our midst, and to give God the opportunity to do that. And I think God is asking us to do that as a body. And that's why we started even what we did today in making this more of a prayer and praise atmosphere before the service. And so God directs that way. I believe that was a prophetic word. God speaking to my heart, saying, Mark, here's a direction I'm giving you. That's what I want you to do. And so understand how prophecy works. Sometimes it's someone walking up and saying, God put something in my heart to share with you. Sometimes it's simply God begins to take you to certain places over and over in the Word of God. And He begins to confirm it in other ways. And He takes you all the way across the nation and you read the same passage you left Knoxville with. This is how it works. This is how our God works. And so be sensitive to God's Spirit and how we need that today in the church and in our lives individually. This is a gift that is so needed. And before we're done today, I'm going to pray that God gives you guys that gift, that God gives me that gift, the ones He wants to give to. Remember, He gives the gift as He wills. But we want to be praying that God will give us the gift of prophecy, and we'll see that gift operate in this body. Again, secondly, God exhorts us through prophecy. Here's another thing that God does in prophecy. He exhorts us. And that is oftentimes God will use prophecy to get us going. God may be wanting you to do something in ministry. He may be wanting you to serve, and you're thinking, well, I don't know that I can, or I don't want to. And all of a sudden, God will speak something so clear through a teaching or through an individual or through a circumstance prophetically into your life that you realize, that's God. I've got to respond. I need to move. I need to act on this. I think about when Zerubbabel, again, was trying to build the temple. And there was a big delay. They started building the temple, and there was this big opposition to it. And there were years and years of a delay in building the temple. And then God raised up these prophets again, these prophets around Zerubbabel, Haggai and Zechariah. And they said, you know what? God is saying it's time to move. And they stirred the people, and the people began to move and do what it was God had called them to do. Again, a gift of prophecy. Thirdly, prophecy is given to comfort us. Oftentimes, you're at your lowest point. And all of a sudden, a word of prophecy will come that will lift you out of the pit. You know, the Bible says that hope deferred makes the heart sick. You ever been there? Hope deferred makes the heart sick. And yet, when God's timing is perfect, guys, He sends a prophetic word, and God raises us up out of the pit and sets us on a high place and says, you know what? Now it's time. Or now I'm going to do this. Or don't worry, this is me, and I'm going to work in this way. And suddenly, we're revived. We're encouraged. We realize God has not left me. I'm not alone. God is working. That is another way that prophecy is used by the Lord in our lives. We come to the next question, and that is this. How then does this gift operate today? Well, it's most clearly seen in ways where God just speaks and you know it. The number one way is you're reading the Word of God, or you get up and somebody reads the Word of God. I shared with you guys in the past a word of prophecy that Bob Coy doesn't even know he did, but we were at one of the conferences up in Atlanta. And we were there in the conference, and I just shared, we're a brand new body. There were 12 of us there. That was the whole church, 12 of us. And I think it was the whole church, no joke. But there was like 10 or 12 of us, maybe a couple left behind. And I had just shared my vision for Knoxville with them. And they just kind of stared at me like, yeah, where are you coming from? You know, that sounds nice and all, but you know, that's nice. And I'm like, I remember sitting down in my seat thinking, Lord, we got this brand new study we just started. I just shared my vision, and nobody seems to get it. Nobody seems to understand what it is You put in my heart. I tried to share it, but I think I was a very bad communicator. And Lord, You're going to have to do this. And Lord, they don't understand. And so we sit down, and Bob Coy gets up, and he says, you know what now? I just want to encourage you guys. He says, you guys are from all over the place. You're from here. He said, you're from Knoxville. And you've just shared your vision with your people, and they looked at you like you were crazy. Well, my eyes got about as big as the eyes could get on somebody's face. And he went down the row and just literally covered everything that I just covered with our people, saying what God had put in my heart in this whole picture. And I realized that's a prophetic word to me. Now, again, when the heart grows sick because of a delay, then God gives a prophetic word to encourage. And that's what I hope God is doing in your hearts today, encouraging you. Maybe God has said something to you, and God's restirring that today. He's giving you new vision. He's giving you new hope. He's giving you new direction. That's how the word of prophecy operates. That's one way, a very direct way. Another way is it simply is a very strong impression in your heart that lines up with Scripture. You just have this strong impression on your heart. You're like, I think God's saying this to me. I believe this is what God wants me to do. At that point, you simply pray and you praise and you wait, and then God will confirm it. God always confirms it. He lets you know that's me. And when he confirms it, you move forward with boldness. You wait on that confirmation and then you go. That's another way that God works in that. When it comes to the gift of prophecy, as we said earlier, there's going to be some that claim themselves to be prophets or say they're giving you a word from the Lord, and they're not always really speaking of the Lord or from the Lord. How do you know the difference whether or not it's God or whether or not it's somebody that just wants to be spiritually important? Well, God gives us some biblical rules and criteria for judging whether or not someone that is speaking to you prophetically is truly giving you a prophecy from God. What are those rules? Well, first of all, does it line up with Scripture? Note this. Does it line up with Scripture? If somebody comes up to you and says, hey, brother, I've got a word for you. All right, great. What is it? God is telling me that you need to divorce your wife. Especially if a woman comes up and tells you, man, that, then be careful. Because you know what her motive is. Now, I'm being extreme on that. But the point is, I've heard people say before to me, well, I believe God spoke to me and told me to divorce my spouse. That is not God. How do we know that? The Bible says that God hates divorce. And God does not want divorce or even approve of divorce other than for biblical grounds. And so when somebody comes up and says, you know what, I believe you're supposed to do this or whatever, first thing, that's a very obvious one, run to God's word and say, all right, God, what does your word say? Your word says that there's not to be divorce except for sexual immorality. So again, we see the guidelines that God gives for divorce, and there are some other stipulations on divorce. We're not going to do a teaching on that, but you get my point. You know enough to know that God is not going to tell you something that goes directly against his word. That's the first thing you do. Secondly, if it is a foretelling and someone says, this is what God is going to do in your life, it has to be 100% accurate or it wasn't from the Lord. Now, where do we get that? In Deuteronomy 18, because of time, we're not going to turn there. But in Deuteronomy 18, the Lord said this. He said, if there's a prophet and what he says to you does not come to pass 100% accurate, if they say it in my name, if they say, thus saith the Lord, and they say, this is a word from God. You know, that's different than saying, I think that, you know, God's given me something to share with you. But if they say, this is God's word to you, if it doesn't come to pass 100%, guys, it's not God. And Deuteronomy 18 says that. Now, why do I say this? This is so important to understand when it comes to this gift, because there are certain groups out there that try to say they're prophets and they give actual statistics of how accurate they are. And they think that they're doing a good thing by saying that. There was this group called the Kansas City Prophets. Matter of fact, they may still be around. You may have heard of them. But the Kansas City prophets years ago were giving all these prophecies, and they would say, you know what? We are so accurate in our prophecies that we are 70% accurate. And if you send your people to our fellowship and to our studies, we're going to prophesy over them, and we guarantee you we're 70%. We've been checking with our people, and we are 3/4 of the time correct. Little did they know, based on Deuteronomy 18, they just revealed themselves as false prophets. And it's amazing to me, because if people don't know the word of God, they don't even understand what it is people are saying. Guys, I've said this before, but Vegas statistically, and I don't keep up with it, trust me, but Vegas, my understanding is, guess how accurate they are on all their gambling and predictions? 70% accurate. So I would say that the Kansas City prophets have now equaled up to Vegas. Good job, right? Now, I'm not making fun of anybody, guys. Listen, what I'm saying is, it's a serious thing to say, thus saith the Lord. Scares me to death. I've never said it, and I doubt I ever will. I have known that God has spoken to me before, and God said, Mark, this is what you're to do. And I say, guys, you know what? I believe this is God, and here's why. Boom, 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 boom. And this happened, and this happened. This is the Lord. Let's go. But at the same time, it's very different to walk up to someone and say, thus saith the Lord, and give some kind of prophecy in their life. You better be 100% accurate, or you better not be saying anything at all. Now, there's another stipulation to prophecy. What if someone gives me a prophecy and it's 100% accurate? Does that mean that they are really speaking for God? I'm gonna stumble you on this. Maybe the answer is no. Well, then how do we know? What do you mean, Pastor Mark? What do you mean the answer is no? The Lord said this. The children of Israel, he said, there's going to be some that come along that are going to give you prophecies that are going to be accurate, and they're going to actually come to pass the way they said it. But then they're going to tell you to do something that goes against God's word. I'm testing your heart. I'm going to find out, are you going to obey my word more than you obey the word of man? And the bottom line is, just because someone gives you something that comes to pass, it doesn't mean it's the Lord. Remember, Satan has power as well. Now, how could Satan give a prophecy that would come to pass? Satan can't give really a prophecy that would come to pass 100%, but he's going to hit from time to time. And remember, the demonic realm knows what's going on. If the demonic realm knows you're going to a gathering, and they know that this other person is going to the gathering, the demonic realm talks, the demonic realm says something to someone, they say to you, you're going to go to this gathering, and so-and-so's going to be there, and you guys are going to meet there, whatever, and they're going to say, it really happened. It really took place. And I've seen these kind of things happen where things are predicted that actually come to pass. But then that particular person leads people astray from God. Why do I say this? Guys, this is important to understand. Even if someone is 100% accurate, make sure that it lines up with God's word and not just the prophecy they gave about your life. Just because someone says you're going to go somewhere and meet a guy wearing a blue jacket doesn't mean you're supposed to listen to everything the guy in the blue jacket says. Because the Bible says in the last days there are going to be false prophets that are going to be performing signs and wonders and miracles. And if we don't line up what they're saying with the word of God, and even if they're sometimes accurate, if we don't make sure that they're not leading us away from God and away from God's word, we can be deceived. The Bible says in the last days, these guys are going to be so good that even the elect would be deceived if possible. Guys, note that. And so it's so important. Listen, the thing that scares me about portions of the church today is how they follow every wind of doctrine that blows through. And if you follow every wind of doctrine that blows through, but you don't have a solid foundation in the word of God, what happens when these guys come along that have these supernatural powers given to them by the demonic realm? It's going to pull away a chunk of people that don't know the word of God. We have got to know the word of God. So understand how important that is. And again, it's not just if they're accurate. If they're accurate and they lead you away from God's word, I don't care if they're accurate. That's a false prophet. And God says that he actually even has allowed that to test his people from time to time. So that's a warning for us as well. Are we going to stick with the word of God? Or are we going to go with signs and wonders and all these other things that take place? Now, the next question that we need to answer, does God give any rules or guidelines for those operating in the gift of prophecy within the public church setting? Yes, he does. I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, just one, probably one page over. And we're going to look at verses 29 through 33. Because Paul talks about the gift here, the gift of prophecy, but then he talks about the way that the gift is supposed to be used. Notice here in verse 29, let two or three prophets speak and let the others judge. That is, let them speak one at a time. But if anything is revealed to another who sits by, let the first keep silent. For you can all prophesy one by one that all may learn and that all may be encouraged. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Couple things to note here. Notice this. First of all, he says, let two or three prophets speak. That is, God told me, whatever, this kind of thing. And it has to bear witness with our spirit. And then God will oftentimes use others there to confirm it. He said, hey, if another speaks, let him speak. Somebody might say something. I remember I was at an afterglow a while back. And somebody said something, and it was like, you know what? I want to add to that. He said, you know what that guy just said? I believe that God is adding to that this. And it was two things those guys were saying for me. I'm sure there might have been others in the room, but I knew it was directly for me. It's one of those moments where you say, God, I need you to speak to me right now about this subject. And I named the subject, and I named what I needed God to speak to me about. And I didn't need me to do it or me to think it or think I needed some outside source because I was too close to it. I wanted to make sure it was God. And this guy spoke up exactly what I just asked God to reveal to me. Then another guy got up and said, I want to confirm that. God is giving that word for someone in here today. And he also wants to add this to it. And they were both perfectly what I was looking for from God. They lined up with scripture. They were exactly what God knew I needed to hear. And it was the gift of prophecy operating. So you'll have one person that'll share and another will add to that. Next, notice in verse 32, this is one that's very important when it comes to not only the gift of prophecy, but all the gifts. Notice what he says. The spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. Let me put that in modern day language. God gives the gift, but you have control of it. Oftentimes you hear people say, well, I had a gift and the spirit came upon me and I wasn't able to control myself. And I did this and I did that. And I began to prophesy over somebody in the line at Kroger. You know, wait a minute. I couldn't stop it. I wanted to, and I was embarrassed, but I began to prophesy. And I mean, and people were, you know, and then crowds were, I don't know. Listen, I think it's great if you want to be a witness in Kroger, but God is never going to give us something that's going to take us over where we lose control. God gives us control of the gift. And so whether it's what of all the gifts we've gone through, and we're going to get to, of course, the last few gifts here very soon. We're down to the last three, I think, after this one. But the bottom line is, whatever gift God has given you control over it. It doesn't overtake you. It doesn't cause you to do something foolish. You know, you're not you just lose control. You're the one in control of that particular gift. So God gives it, and God moves us to use it. Now, the next question we need to answer is this. How do we handle false prophets once they're identified? We talked about a true prophet. We talked about a false prophet. I feel like we need to know this before we're done. That is, once someone is identified as a false prophet, we need to get away from them as fast as we can and as far as we can, as quickly as we can. It is amazing to me, some of the people that are on TV who give these prophecies that don't come to pass, as a matter of fact, the opposite happens, and they still have huge crowds that follow them. And I have to believe either they don't know the word of God or they're completely blinded by emotion. Guys, we can't be those. In the last days, my goal is this. I may not be the best pastor in the world. I may not be have all the gifts offering. I may not be all these things or whatever it might be, but I'm committed to this. I am committed to teaching you guys the word of God to the best of my ability so that not only will you know how to use it right now in your life, but when we head into the days that I believe we're heading into, you're going to be able to stand strong and not have a house made on sand, but standing on the word of God. I mean, that is just something that I'm just committed to doing. We have to do that. I remember I told the guys just recently, I said, you know, no matter what changes we make over the years at Calvary Chapel, no matter what kind of worship or what events or whatever atmosphere we set or whatever we do, there's one thing we're always going to do, and we're always going to stay with the Word of God. We're not going to get involved in just storytelling and all these different things. There has to be the Word of God being taught. And even this particular thing that we're in right now, this topical teaching, as I told you, I'm really more comfortable going line by line, verse by verse. That's where I feel that I do the best in the gift God has given me. But this subject is important for us in this day. And sometimes there are subjects we cover on a topical way because we need to understand them. And this is one of them, the gifts of the Spirit. Make sure you don't follow these people. Again, I'm not going to name names, but I remember one guy that made some major prophecy on Christian TV. It did not come to pass, and people still flock to that guy. He still has his books in bookstores. I'm like, you know what? Once they're identified, get away. So we need to use wisdom and discernment, not be based on emotion. And guys, we're going to get to discernment next week, and I want to say this in advance of that. Don't despise discernment. I've had people say to me before, I was at a service or I was at an event or somebody said something, it just didn't feel right to me, but I don't want to judge. I don't want to judge. I said, brother, judge. Judge your guts out. I'm not saying judge them unbiblically or make some opinion about them and their walk. I'm saying you better judge what they're saying based on the Word of God. That is called discernment. And there's a gift that God gives called the gift of discernment. And sometimes you're in the middle of a situation where you go, you know what? This is weird. This is not the Lord. Ever been there? That's the gift of discernment. God is revealing to you, this is not true, this person is not legitimate, something's not right. We'll get to that next week. I've already shared half my teaching. The last thing before we finish up and pray for God to really give us this gift in this body that I want to touch on concerning the gift of prophecy is it is a gift that we are to desire. Here's what Paul says, and look at verse 39, what Paul says about this particular gift. He's been talking about the gift of prophecy, and Paul says this, therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy. And then he goes on and says, do not forbid to speak with tongues. Now, that's a hot topic, isn't it? Don't worry. We have a couple more weeks before we get to that. But it is interesting. I will say this. If you're going to throw out one of the gifts, you got to throw them all out, don't you? Guys, they come as a package. We'll get to that when we get to it. But the bottom line is, he says this, desire earnestly to prophesy. Guys, do you desire today earnestly to prophesy? Do you guys desire to prophesy? I do. And I'm not talking about thus saith the Lord. I'm not talking about being the office of a prophet. That doesn't exist anymore. I'm talking about the gift of prophecy, where you can foretell and forthtell into people's life and you share the word of God. Hey, God put something in my heart this morning for you. By the way, when God does that, when you're praying for someone and God puts something in your heart, go and tell that person. That is the gift of prophecy at work. God has put that in your heart to say, you know what? God wanted me to let you know that whatever, boom, 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 boom. Do that. And I think that even if you don't know it's the Lord, as long as it's not damaging, as long as it's encouraging, you say, look, I don't know if this is the Lord or not, but I sensed in my spirit that boom, boom, boom. Say, God will show you. God will confirm it. God will let you know. I'm going to give that to you, and you could do with it between you and the Lord what you think. Don't be afraid to use that gift. If you want that gift, we're going to pray for that in just a moment. But guys, I want to say this. If you have that gift and you know you have that gift, use it. Continue to use it. Don't be afraid to use it. Use the gift. Share with people things that God has put on your heart to encourage them, to build them up. And that's what the gift will do. It will encourage. It will build up. It will instruct. All these different ways, the way the gift operates. Don't be afraid to use it. But the main thing I want to do is give you guys an opportunity to receive it. Why don't we do this? Let's dim the lights down. Worship team, come on back up here. I'm going to put them on the spot and have them play something. And I'm going to ask the worship team just to play something. Just play something without singing. Just play one of your songs you played, one of the mellow ones or whatever. And I want to pray for the body. I want to pray as a whole and ask for the Lord to really pour out His Spirit and give us that gift. Because this is a gift we need. Now, we've talked about the other gifts. We've prayed for them each week. And what I want to do is as we come to these gifts, we're going to pray for these gifts one by one as they come into play. And then, guys, again, I want you to know that you're free to use the gifts. Oftentimes people say, well, when can the gifts be used? The gifts are used all the time. We don't interrupt the teaching for certain gifts during the teaching because the gift of teaching is going on and God doesn't interrupt Himself. But at the same time, we're going to make these times available, like when people come in beforehand to be praying and to be using the gifts. God may give you a word for somebody that's sitting there. Go encourage them. Pray with them. Share them what God put in your heart. God may give you a word of knowledge for them. God may give you a word of wisdom for them. You may pray for someone to have a word of wisdom or whatever the case might be. But the way that the gifts begin to operate is you start exercising the gifts. And I don't want you to be afraid to do that. We're not going to get weird, and God's not going to make you do something you don't want to do, and things aren't going to get, you know, this is the same as it's always been. Our belief system has not changed. We're just trying to offer an atmosphere where you can truly, you know, express yourself. And that's what this is about. I want to pray for us right now that God would just, again, pour that gift out. Why don't we pray? Father, I just want to lift up us as a body here at Calvary Chapel right now. And Father, I just pray, Lord, that you would give us this gift. I thank you for all the gifts. And I thank you, Lord, for how good you are in giving the gifts. But Lord, I do pray specifically for the gift of prophecy. And I pray, Lord, that you'd begin to pour out your spirit on those right now who would desire that gift. Your word tells us that we're to earnestly desire the gift of prophecy. And some in this room are saying, hey, I'd love that gift. Maybe some in the room are saying, you know, I don't know about this. I'm still kind of maybe scared of the gifts, whatever the case might be. But Lord, right now we are open and we receive anything and everything you have for us. I just ask you to begin to pour out your spirit. And right now, if that's you and you want the gift of prophecy, you know, God may give it, he may not. We saw there in chapter 12 that God, the Spirit, gives the gifts as he wills. But if you want that gift, I want you to begin to pray right now. Just begin to ask God right where you're sitting in your heart. God, I want this gift. Give me the gift of prophecy. It may manifest itself in foretelling. It may not. It may manifest itself in forthtelling. It may manifest itself both ways. But God, give me that gift. I want to operate in that gift, and I receive it by faith. And Lord, I know right now that as we're praying, Lord, you hear those that are saying, God, give me that gift. I ask this, Lord, as the pastor of this church, I ask that you would give different individuals in this body that gift because we need it. Lord, there are times that it's great to hear the teaching of the Word of God. It's wonderful, Lord, for you to speak directly to our hearts. But sometimes everything gets so clogged and so muddled in our brain, and we're so close to a situation we can't discern what's us and what's you, that we need an outside source to just to walk up to us and say, you know what? God put something in my heart for you. And they begin to speak prophetically in our life. Lord, I ask you to just pour out your spirit and pour out that gift this morning. We receive it, Lord, by faith. And Father, I just pray that if there's any in here that know they already have that gift, that they would continue to operate in that gift. But God, be free to operate in that gift, to begin to use that gift and to minister to the body of Christ through that gift. So Lord, have your way. And God, we're just going to worship you and just give you praise. Or even as Jehoshaphat, he said, Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. But we know that if we praise, Lord God, you're going to give us the victory and the battle will be won. And so Lord, now we just turn our eyes and our heart to you and say, Lord, fight our battles and give us victory through praise.